side of the microphone from the green light to the speed trap. Rick Reno and Jody calls them as they seize them, and you better believe them. Here, relevant news, biased opinion, and outright nonsense regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! It's mechanical trickery never before broadcast over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrill to the explosive tension as Ray and Joe cuss each other down track, barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disasters as they shake hands for the devil. All that and so much more at high noon this Sunday on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and the Live Feed, Ray Garino and Joe D. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free every Sunday at noon on WHBC. Take the Hempstead Turnpike to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway sign. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass.
Oh, here he is slapping that bass. I see those fingers working. Joe D over here on the control booth. Ray Guarino, Motormouth Radio. We are asking what your favorite color is today, Joe. Why?
Well, I think we might have a little visit, for at least telephonically, from the Duplicolor folks.
That's correct. We're going to have a few, a couple of women from Duplicolor on today to talk about their new line of finishes and peel off stuff. And it's going to be kind of cool. So I figured.
Yeah, the video on that stuff is amazing. What they could do now? Wow. I mean, science. What did you do to this wrench? Did you embarrass it?
I did things.
You made it turn red.
I did things to a few wrenches.
Oh, no, you scared it. You made it turn white. Oh.
It depends.
It's red. It's white. It's red. It's white. I like that you flip it back. Oh, you've been going nuts with this stuff.
I was playing. Well, I figure, yes, if you're gonna talk about a product.
So does it have a lot of fumes? Because I noticed that your mood is definitely up too a little bit. So you might, there might be some nice after effects that nobody thought about yet.
Interestingly.
Leave it to our stringent testing standards to uncover them.
Yeah, interestingly that you say that, because the one thing I noticed about this product was the odoriferous emanations that it produces.
You mean it stunk?
No, it actually smelled different, but kind of good in a kind of good
you
way.
You inhaled deeply.
It made me keep going back for extra coats, okay? I'll admit. So I played with the stuff. What are you going to do?
Hey, well, you know, marketing works in strange ways.
Absolutely.
But that's incredible. Look at that stuff holds up pretty well, too.
We'll get into that some more.
But, and it's a non-slip surface, too, for wrenching.
It is.
Yeah, folks, Ray has done a variety of wrenches from his arsenal of tools there.
Yeah.
And in addition to being easily identifiable, so now when you go ripping through your toolbox or your tool wagon trying to see now that you know what color is what,
right.
It's easier to identify. So right there, there's a practical use.
Exactly.
Maybe they'll give us a reward for that. Actually, give you a reward for that.
I don't know.
A couple slices of pizza. I don't know what. You know, Coke.
Well, that'd be nice.
Yeah, like, whatever.
Well, but anyway, you can call us shortly. You get a few quick minutes at 516-572-7440 before Paulette Grimmie calls us, and also Amy, this woman Amy who's
Amy
in the
was in the videos. Yeah,
she'll be conferencing with Paulette on this call.
I bet you she's the happier one because she got to smell the fumes.
Yeah, well, they probably we'll find out. And besides that, you can catch us on MotormouthRadio.com. You can get us on iHeartRadio and Performance Motorsports Network on our replays. So until then, Joe, we got a few quick minutes. We're going to take an early first break today so we can get that call in. Hopefully,
yeah, let's get that in so that way we could spend some time with these ladies and their colorful products there.
So just to forend the show, we got a couple other guests that are lined up. I got a guy from Thompson Performance. I saw this on Playing in Traffic, Lou Santiago's TV show. I'm sorry, Playing in Traffic is the Thursday night video show that I do with Lou. Car Fix is the TV show. They did they had a device called it's a power plate that they install on either a Holley or an Edelbrock carburetor.
Mm-hmm.
It goes over the discharge, the discharge boosters, and it does.
It changes the shape of the discharge there
a lot. I spoke with Dan Thompson Friday. We had a nice long phone. We played tag in August, mm-hmm. and then kind of both of us kind of dropped the thread. And I picked it up again Friday. Had a nice long call with him. And they had this in development, his brother and him, for many, many years. It basically is a way of atomizing and breaking up the fuel that, that blubbers into the carburetor.
Right, yeah, usually it's a pretty stinky stream there that kind of drippy drips and whatever, but this is a nice shot. Yeah, I've seen videos of it.
They have it's thompsonperformance.com. They have a video on there of, with an Edelbrock and with a Holley, and you can hear the difference in the engine in response on the video.
Yes,
I plan on doing my own. So fast forward to say I'm getting two of those for my car, because, of course, I need two, one for each carburetor.
Mr. Dual Carburetors himself.
And I'll do some real-world testing with that and see. So we're going to have him on in the next few weeks, maybe towards the end of the month. And then also, with all this brake work I've been doing, Joe, I did more on the RAV4 this week. I have my daughter's RAV4 on the lift.
That lift and you have become fast friends.
I know the idiosyncrasies of it, even though it's a real pain in the neck, but I've actually... So now you know that you've been with it for a while, and it wasn't even that long of a while, but...
Kind of like us.
Yeah, kind of. And with all the brake work I've done, I've spoke at length on Thursday night about it and with other people, and now I'm going to reach out back to the Mighty Vac people because I want to get them back on to talk about some of their...
That wouldn't suck.
Yeah, no, it wouldn't. Well, the pressure bleeders would, yeah, but not...
Well, as long as they don't.
Yeah. And we're going to talk about that. And in the meantime, I said, hey, you know what? I have to get my own car in for an oil change. This is my thing this year. It's like oil change, tire rotation, brake flush.
Right.
All three at once.
Because now it's like, hey, I got a lift. It's no problem. The other way, it's like, oh, I got to go outside. I got to get the jack. Where did I put them jack stands? Oh, look at that. I'm using that to hold up the garage. Okay. See?
Right.
Now it's just you roll it in. You kick the arms under there. Up it goes.
The worst part is... You kick the arm out with your foot, but you still got to kneel down and bend down and position.
And set it correctly.
And I'm like, oh, I got to do this three more times, two more times. So I'm even complain about that. You know what I mean? That's what we do, right?
Let's just face it. We're complainers. But, you know, that's okay. Well, at least you set it properly, because I see a lot of shops where they just kick the thing under there and wherever it lands.
Really? Oh, no.
Yeah, then you got squished brake lines and...
Oh,
you know, it messed up. Maybe you don't quite catch the pinch weld for the body just right. If it's a unibody car, and then you wonder what that crunchy noise is.
You know, I like to find talking about the pinch welds, which is the accepted way you're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I usually like to find a piece of like by the control arm or in the rear.
Right, because then at that point you're on the suspension.
I like to find a piece of steel if I can.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
You know,
I mean, some of the funniest things I've seen is people with like rusted out old Jab cars.
Oh yeah,
I mean, this happened to me years ago with a Subaru. That car ran great. It looked a little rusty, but then we put the We put the lift under it, you know, to get it up in the air to do, I forget what, an oil change, whatever.
Right.
The body stayed. The lift went up.
Yeah.
And it was like... big, how does Chris put it, bowl of cornflakes appeared under the vehicle.
Right, cornflakes, yeah.
Yikes!
Yeah.
At that point, it was, it was time to hold the funeral, you know?
Yeah.
But,
yeah, so I do pay a lot of attention to that, and like I said, my car will be next. So I wanted to. I actually opened the hood of my car yesterday and just poked around a little and said, you know what? I want to bleed my clutch when I have it in there.
Mm-hmm.
Do a hydraulic clutch bleed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know some cars share the brake fluid with the clutch.
Right.
And I wanted to verify, and my Mazda does do that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But in seeing that, I said, wow, you know, my power steering fluid is a little low. And
okay.
I had a bottle of power steering fluid in the garage, but apparently I had used it on something, so I was out.
Ain't that always the way?
So not having the eye in the sky knowledge base that you have, because you have the best information in the world, I went to the second best. I opened my owner's manual.
That is up there.
And I tell people all the time, go to the owner's manual. Because although it doesn't show you the brake bleed sequence, if you have, a lot of Japanese cars have
it. It'll at least specify the fluid.
Well, it says to
fluid.
Do it.
Yeah.
And the fluid. It'll tell you the fluid.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't show you the... I want to find out about that. I want to find out how for different cars, if I can find out if they have different brake bleed...
Procedures. Yeah.
You know, for a cross-link system or front to back. But anyway, my car did show me in the manual that my... power steering fluid is indeed Dexron 3.
Okay.
Well, they had another name, too. Something else 3.
Dexron/Mercron.
Or they didn't say, no, it was some other thing. It was some other fluid, whatever it was, or Dexron 3 equivalent.
Teriyaki sauce.
So I said, okay, now I know what I can. And I have that. I added that to the power steering.
Teriyaki sauce?
That might be, might have been like Asian hoisin sauce. I don't know. And now I do know, when I looked up under the bleeding the clutch, it did say, yes, the clutch and the brakes share the same fluid. So... when I flush the brakes, I know I'll be flushing the clutch.
Good idea.
No. And I think the slave cylinder has a bleeder valve on it as well.
Mm, some of them do, some of them don't. I mean,
so I have to find out, is it correct to do like a power flush, like treat that like a wheel cylinder, put the vacuum on it, crack the valve, and let the bleeder pull the fluid out?
Mm.
Or, because usually what you do is you depress the clutch.
Right.
So I have to find that out, and of course...
There's a procedure for that. We'll just...
I have to ask someone I know who can find out.
We'll have to fire up the old hard drive and see what the mighty Mitchell All Data says.
Speaking of firing up the old hard drive and doing some new and lit stuff, are you planning on watching the Orville tonight?
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to check that out myself.
As a matter of fact, I mentioned it to my son, so like the two of us are going to park our butts, and whatever's on the Hallmark channel or whatever, sorry, wifey, you're not going to be able to see it.
You don't have one, TV in house?
Yeah, I know, but I just like saying that.
Okay. I gotta tell you, the first couple of things I saw for that show, I'm like, no, come on, this is like blasphemy. But now they showed a longer trailer. As they get closer, the trailers get longer.
Of course.
And the one I saw last night looked really freaking funny.
Well, you know, not to turn this into the science fiction show, but actually some of the stuff that goes on here is science fiction, like those flashing lights. Should we answer that?
We will. Continue your thought.
Well, I was going to say, Seth MacFarlane's a big Star Trek fan, and he wanted, this is like kind of his love letter.
Yeah.
Yep.
It is. But with his sense of humor put into it, too.
Star Trek meets Family Guy. Hey, what the heck?
Exactly.
You got to love it.
It's,
so
it's going to be pretty
I'm
cool.
down at least for a shot.
I think so. I'll give it a shot. So let's take a shot and go to the phones and say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hello.
Hello, Corley. You're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hello.
Yes, hello.
Hi, this is Paulette from Dupacolor.
Hi, Paulette.
Hello.
How you doing? You're with Ray and Joe.
Hi. We thought you might have gotten scared.
Amy is here, too, I think.
All right.
We thought we scared you off with the science fiction talk there for a second.
I am. Hi.
Hi.
Oh, we have been waiting for this for a while. Of course, Paulette and Amy, you women are both from Dupacolor.
Right.
Paulette, give us your credential first. What do you do for the Dupacolor company?
I am the brand manager.
Okay.
So I take care of all the websites, social media, merchandising, advertising, you name it.
That's what gets you on our show. Yeah. And Amy, what about... I know Amy is the video star because we've watched her in...
Yeah, she's been in a lot of the videos we were looking at. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Amy, is that...
Yes, a few. But my primary response... Mostly for Dupacolor, I am their product manager, so I help come up with the new products that we launch every year.
Oh, so you do some R&D stuff? Do you get involved with that as well? Research and development?
I work very closely with our R&D team. We always... What's that?
No, I was curious about that because I have worked in the R&D area of a large company, and I was curious what the... If there's like an average lead or lag time before you get it, when you start an idea to get a product out, I know it can take quite a long time.
For example, this stuff. How long did this stuff take?
Oh yeah, that's a great question. So generally, we come up with these product ideas, and then we work very closely with our R&D team, and we tell them, hey, this is what we want. These are the features and benefits we're looking for. This is what we're trying to achieve with the product, and we've got a great R&D team that go out. They resource the information and raw materials needed to get to the product that we desire, and then we work together, usually throughout a year, 2 years, depending on how technologically challenging the project is, to kind of fine-tune it and hit all of those things that we know that our users are going to want to get out of that product. So it's a very collaborative process between R&D and the product team, and we've got great resources at Dupacolor, so they have been able to make us look great year after year, which is phenomenal for us as a company.
And Dupacolor makes the stuff that we use the product on look great, too, if I can coin a little phrase.
Sure.
With the paint, we've all been using the product for Dupacolor paints for many, many years. How long has the company been in existence?
So Dupacolor was actually born back in 1938, really based on Exact Max touch-up paint, which we're known for.
Sure.
And now we're part of the Sherwin-Williams company, which gives us even more resources, really, to drive new product development and make sure that we're listening to the end user and bringing the products to market that will be successful.
Nice, nice. Yeah, that's quite a history. And, of course, we all know the product. We've all used it. But now the thing that got us to this point was I had gotten an email from Dupacolor, and I guess because I – I don't know what I did. I guess I joined a list or a group or something, or I showed interest. But anyway, I got an email that was talking about the custom wrap easy peel paint technology that the company now is selling. And I have to say, I have some samples here in the studio that I did. I painted some stuff of my own with the samples that I'd gotten. And boy, what a nice product to use.
Right. Yeah, we were just discussing that. Your videos were very impressive. And Ray's done some very impressive stuff with his wrenches and his air cleaner. It came out great. Like, we turned them loose with it. And after this, we're going to do the speakers in the studio.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, as long as I can keep the other guys outside occupied. But the stuff is great.
Joe's going to try and get a red, white, and green stripe. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
removable coatings are really a great category. They've been one of the fastest growing categories in the aftermarket, for automotive. And so we were excited to launch the product line, and we've been adding to it every year for the past several. And mm-hmm. we'll continue to do so as long as the market welcomes the products.
Yeah, I have to say, all the samples I did were actually chrome-plated. I figured that would be the hardest thing to do because of its slipperiness. But this stuff grips and it adheres, and it just says, you know what, I'm on there. And I'm curious to try other things like some wood and plastic and other things. I just have to, as I find things that need color, that's what I'm going to use.
Great. We appreciate you using the product. It's easy peel technology is super important, too, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. Let's see. Now, and also the...
And it is very durable. Like you said, it's really a cool product.
Now, what happens, like, Joe, that wrench, I did a chrome snap-on wrench right there.
Right. I'm digging my fingernail into this. This ain't going no place, this stuff.
Dig your fingernail into fracture it, and then just try to peel it off.
I'm going to try.
I found it rolling it with your thumb works well, so you can see the
process. I found the spot here. Yeah, it comes off pretty darn easy, yep.
Paula, what is the recommended prep procedure before you use this?
This is almost
coating.
As good as those bubble wrap. Wow.
It's almost the same as doing any paint project. Really, you want to make sure the surface is clean and free of any contaminants.
Mm-hmm.
And then go to town. And this product, you put one light coat down and you follow it up with 4 to 5 medium coats. That kind of allows it to stick to itself so you can get that peel when you're ready to change it out.
Right.
And we recommend that every 6 months you take it off and or top coat it again to reactivate the chemicals in it so that you get the UV protection that will allow it to peel off when you're ready.
And there is a clear coat available for this, correct?
There is. The clear coat's really more for if you wanted to add gloss to one of our matte products.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Or just add some protection, really. You can use it as a bra in the front of your car, rock guards on the rockers.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I found by doing this, I did some open-end wrenches, and what I wanted to do was, I did the whole wrench. They're short little stubby guys. But I wanted to leave the center of it with the coating and then do the box end and the open end back to the chrome finish, which is what Joe has in front of him.
Right.
And I found that where the spray hit the lightest, which is in the open end of the wrench and in the splines of the box, that was the hardest to get off because it was so little.
Right.
Where there was more, I just rolled it with my thumb.
The thicker it is, the easier it is to peel. I'm noticing that now, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But this stuff is great.
Yeah, that's very true, and that's a great point. That's one of the things we tell you, is the more coats you put on, the easier it is to take off. You make sure you're adding those 6 coats and have a really nice heavy spray on there. It's going to be that much easier to come off later.
Right.
Right.
And this can be used with, instead of out of the aerosol can, which I have to say, the sprayer on the aerosol can is top, top notch. We've all used spray paint, and some of the sprayers on spray paint cans
are really cheesy,
terrible. This puts out a nice fan pattern. It's just so consistent. It's almost like using a spray gun, I have to say.
Just another place that shows you guys did your homework when you put the stuff out.
We have that fan pattern on there. Mm. Oh yeah, absolutely. We know that. The guys who are doing auto projects, they're used to that fan spray pattern from HVLP sprayer, so why not mimic that with the button on the custom wrap, because that's the pattern that you guys are used to. You're familiar with using that, so why not make it easy?
Right. Now, is this product available in, say, a bulk form so you can use it with a spray gun?
It is. We have some quarts and gallons available. It's a more limited color offering, but we do have it available in quarts and gallons, so you can do a full car application by spraying it on.
Nice. That's great. Now, a full car, if we get to that, that takes a lot of product. Approximately in spray can size, how many cans would be needed to do a say?
Yeah, I was thinking that. There's a certain Cavalier that I wanted to do.
Yeah, like a modern small size car. Yeah, not a big Caddy or anything.
So a standard vehicle takes 2 to 3 gallons?
I can tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
And about 24 to 36 mm-hmm. cans.
24 to 36, okay.
And that would be with the multiple coats required. Is that what you mean?
Yes.
Okay. All right, so 24 to 36. Okay, not bad.
Yeah.
Because they'll give me a hobby for the afternoon.
It's still, it'll still be cheaper than buying the equivalent amount of spray paint. And doing all the bodywork prep that needs to be done with a regular spray job, without a doubt.
Yeah, and it really allows you to change up the color whenever you want. You know, every 6 months you can put a new color on your car.
Yeah, yeah.
That's great. That's great. That it would make things a lot easier. Hey, there goes that moron with the red Cavalier. No, it's white this week.
Yeah. One side red, one side white, like the wrench.
Ah.
They
did that with the Mustang. They made it two different shades, yeah.
I actually plan on, through the year, there's always things in the house and in the shop that I want to add some color to, or, you know, even for a protectant purpose. And I'm going to go to this stuff and from now on and say, hey, this way I could change it. You know, maybe your favorite pen, or if you don't want a guy in the office to steal your pencil or whatever, hey, spray with some Duplicolor custom.
Not your lunch, Ray.
No.
Keep it off the spray. Keep it off the baggies there.
Paul and Amy, I did tell Joe before the show, the thing he asked, and I noticed that there was a definite, specific scent that this product has that you don't get. I haven't noticed that out of any other spray paint, and I like it. It's and I don't know what it is. It's really bugging me, but it's
okay. Now they know we're from the 70s. Okay,
yeah,
we just gave that away.
I guess so. is there something you can?
Do you have it in paper bags?
Yeah. Is there something you can add to that? Is it? You know, am I crazy? I mean, I could swear that I'm noticing something like, you know, a chemical. It's got to be something in the composition of the paint, obviously, but it smells really good.
Well, if you're doing 24 to 36 cans, you know you want it to smell good.
Right.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. You don't want to come in the house all stunk up too, and that does you can't even sniff it now. Oh, it's cherry flavored.
That'd be cool if the colors smelled like they're red was cherry and, you know, blue is blueberry.
But. Sure. Well, come on. Let's not get carried away here. I mean, you know, we do have our food fetish, but, you know.
Right. So, Paulette, run down for us the product line. What colors does this product come in so people would know if it's in their realm?
You know what? It comes in a variety of matte colors. We have neon colors, which are real hot these days. Mm-hmm. We actually have glow-in-the-dark product, which actually is a toucan system with a white base. That allows you to get the light absorption you need to have the product glow. And that comes in blue and red, blue and green. And we have a variety of metallic colors, which will give you a little more pizzazz if you want to do your wheels, perhaps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Really just any color the consumer would want. And you can look for more colors actually coming out next year.
Oh, nice. Have you had consumer feedback on the product yet that you could share? It's, you know, I'm sure it'd be positive.
Yeah, we have actually a Facebook page that a lot of people share their results with, you know, their projects on. And it's all been really great. You know, a lot of good questions come up. Our customer service team keeps track of all that. So, you know, if there's something that's consistent that we want to make sure we're telling our end users, we're right on top of it to be able to do so. And so there's just been a lot of great feedback from people about it, you know, talking about some of the other products they've used and how they like this one because it's specially formulated for use on cars, and it won't etch into the paint, and it'll make sure that it stays nice looking and stays on your car.
Yeah, I just went to the Facebook page. Yeah, there's some pretty impressive stuff here. Yeah, that smart car that looks like a tank. Is that a smart car that looks like a tank? That's kind of cool. And there's an international scout.
Yeah, have to say, when I saw Amy in the videos working with Bruno Massel, another guy we know very well from TV, it was kind of nice to see just how easy it was to use. You know, a video, that's where a video can really shine and show you, you know, the brilliance of a product. And it was nice. I even told my wife, I said, you know, you could take this. She saw me out there doing the wrenches. She said, what do you keep walking back and forth for? I said, well, I got to do a coat every 4 or 5 minutes, you know.
Right, so. Yeah, you got to let it dry.
Yeah. Mm. And I said, you could do this stuff if you want. You could change stuff around the house, which I may be opening myself up for some.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know.
I don't know either.
We just hung the target.
Right.
You just put the bullseye. I have a question here from our social media feed here. Does the paint have any kind, what kind of protective properties does it have? Like, is it weather, you know, does it hold up against weather? Does it electrically insulate anything? Is it chemical resistant? Anything like that? I've got that question from the outside world there.
So the product itself holds up great to daily driving. It mm-hmm. will hold up to minor rocks picking up. You can take it through a touchless car wash. As a matter of fact, one of the how-to videos we did, my personal vehicle, and I had it on for 6 months, and it held up amazingly well. As far as chemical resistance, it is a red coating, so it's not a permanent coating. It doesn't have a great deal of resistance, but it holds up very well to dirt. I didn't have a lot of issues by the gas can door or anything like that.
Okay.
With gasoline, because obviously I was very careful during the time I was on my vehicle as well, making sure that I didn't drip onto it. But as far as just daily driving, I mean, it's easy to maintain. If I did get a little area that got a little rub or something from the garbage cans being pulled through the garage, I would just hit it up with an aerosol can and I would be good to go.
Easy enough to touch up. But mm-hmm. that's a good point, because let's face it, some of the two-stage factory paint that's out there, you're not going to go walking out there with a spray can on a Saturday morning. So that it's good to know. Mm-hmm. It's real good to know.
Absolutely. Do you women know if, and you may not know this, if hobbyists have really latched on to this, because you may not get results on that, I don't know, but I'm thinking like in the hobby world, in the RC world, or in the model car train world, I could see this being a huge hit.
Yeah, we do actually have a lot of people who post pictures of their remote control cars and model cars that they've built, and they use the product all the time.
Okay, very good. Yeah.
So it's versatile. That's great.
Yeah. You know, just even as a homeowner or as an enthusiast, I can see uses for it in my own life. You know, working in a shop, I can see uses there because I've already put some in place. I'm going to see how they work out in test. I'll let you know how that works out for me. I'm sure it's going to be...
Yeah, we're going to have some fun with this. Like I said, there's a certain Cavalier and a certain minivan that that could definitely benefit from this stuff, I think, on some level or another.
Yeah.
Add some cool stripes to it. It'll make you look cooler.
Well, yes. Either that or I was thinking on the minivan, a stencil of a check engine light.
I was thinking about my Fiat. I was thinking about doing something on the Fiat, maybe a stripe or something. I don't know.
Mm. Yeah, I think the possibilities are pretty good. Besides that, it's kind of like... You don't have to worry about if you don't like it, it could come off.
Right.
You know, which is a big thing. It's not like kind of like the automotive equivalent of having it painted on your car by some highfalutin pinstripe or something. And 6 months later, for whatever reason, you change it. You know, it's kind of like a tattoo. You know, you want to be able to get rid of it if you have to.
Yeah, you got it. Ladies, I wonder if I could keep you on while we take a quick break, and then we'll come back and talk some more.
Yes, we have to keep the government happy.
Okay, hang on for maybe about 2 minutes. We'll come back. Ray Guarino, Joe D, Motormouth Radio. We'll be back with Paulette and Amy from Duplicolor after these quick words. Keep it where you got it.
Hi, I'm Rob Leonard, host of Beatles Songs for the past 24 years right here on WHPC. Beatles Songs airs every Friday from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m., playing the music of the Beatles together, apart, along with Beatle cover songs and songs the Beatles covered, along with songs a Beatle either guested on and or produced. And of course, we provide Beatle news. It's not the same show where they play the same 10 songs. So join me every Friday for Beatles Songs. 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. on 90.3 WHPC, the voice of Nassau Community College, streaming at ncc.edu/WHPC.
This show is brought to you by the Belmore Family Street Festival, happening Saturday and Sunday, September 16th and 17th, from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m., located at the Belmore train station on Sunrise Highway, featuring carnival rides and attractions, a sports expo, and more. Find WHPC at the festival to win fun prizes, too.
For more information, visit BelmoreChamber.com.
All right, we are back. More Motor Mouth Radio with Ray Guarino, Joe D, Paulette, and Amy from the Duplicolor Corporation. Ladies, we are back. Thanks for hanging on with us.
What a colorful show.
Indeed.
And our music today is sponsored from Infinity Records with a CD I picked up over there by Living Color. So that was our choice for today.
I thought that sounded familiar.
Right.
Cool.
Yes. Okay, Amy, I had a question for you. I was wondering, because I've seen you in the video, you did stripes on a vehicle. What is the thickness? What's the thickness buildup when you put, say, 4 or 5 coats of this stuff on? Do you know that information?
Well, you know, that's going to depend on how you spray, how close you spray when you're putting it on as far as, like, the dry film thickness. But really, the more you put on, the easier it's going to be to peel. You want to make sure you try and make those coats as even as possible when you're doing the light kit tack coat followed by the 4 to 5 coats. So it could vary. You also have to be careful when you're hitting those curves. Our tendency is kind of not to follow the curve and to pull back a little bit. So you want to make sure you're staying, you know, that consistent distance from your surface when you're spraying as well. But the nice thing is you get that last coat on there, you peel away your tape, and really it just kind of melts in. You don't really get a big raised edge on those stripes, and they look fantastic.
Oh, absolutely. How many applications did you do like that on a car before you felt fully confident and fully comfortable with the process?
We actually get to test quite a bit of product ahead of time, especially before we're doing the videos. We're always doing a lot of testing with our R&D partners. So with Custom Wrap, this product's been around for a couple years. At this point, I have probably sprayed, you know, 50 hours plus of Custom Wrap in the aerosol. So I feel pretty confident doing almost any project with that, whether it's a wheel or a stripe or a full vehicle at this point.
Yeah.
The good news is if you make a mistake and it's still wet, you can actually just wipe it right off. When we did some stripes on a hood one time, we didn't even bother, you know, doing anything but taping off. And if some got outside the line, you just take a rag and wipe it off and you're good.
I will say that the hardest part that I found, the hardest place to get the product off was my fingers. You know, because I was always getting overspray on my fingers.
And that's why we were asking about the flavors.
And again, it's so light. It's such a light coat that it, and it did come off. But on the actual metal that I applied it to, yeah, I could just roll it with my thumb and it just peeled right off. It was beautiful. But
wear some gloves.
I know. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you know, the rubber gloves you can get from wherever. But look, sometimes
we are the guys that walk around with the dirt and grease on our calluses and under our nails. That's what we do. I've been doing it forever. So.
Yeah, when I worked in a body shop, I came home looking like a chameleon many nights. Yeah, yeah. You never knew what.
I'm sure.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So the spraying technique that you use on this is pretty much the conventional spraying technique that you would use for, say, regular aerosol paint, like say touch-up paint or whatever, or do you have to modify your rate of speed across it or anything like that? In other words, if somebody's used to painting now, or maybe even in the application mm-hmm. we use the HVLP, all right, do you have to really change your technique much, or is it pretty much the same thing?
It's pretty much the same thing. Really, the only change you have is that very first coat that you're putting on, because mm-hmm. you want to have a very light tack coat, because that's mm-hmm. going to help build the product. You don't want it to run. So when we say a light tack coat, what we really mean is you should be able to see your surface, your substrate. You're not going for a full hide on that first coat.
Right.
Because that's going to help it to build up nice and slow. And once you have that base down, yeah, then it's just like any other coat that you would put on of any aerosol or HVLP. Again, HVLP is going to be a different spray, but with the aerosol, you're still going to want to be that 8 to 10 inches away, same spray pattern that you would for a touch-up or anything else.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. So, in other words, and it's the speed that you would move across the surface. You know, you don't have to worry. Is it the same? So you don't have to worry about running. I mean,
I found it. No, it applied very, very easily. In fact, I had no instances of run. And sometimes I got a little closer because I like to push the process when I use a product. Like I almost want to see if I can. What do I have mm-hmm. to do to make it fail? And this way I know, like, okay, don't do that. That's wrong. And this stuff, Joe, I almost couldn't make it. I really couldn't make it fail. I didn't.
Wow. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
No, yeah, because
it's
sometimes...
It's got some great self, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's healing. It's self-healing.
It's got some great self-leveling properties, so it evens itself out pretty nicely.
What is it in this stuff that does that? I know there's a chemical engineer somewhere who patented this technique that's... And obviously, you won't tell anybody what it is because everybody would do it. Because there's something really cool in that stuff, and that's probably where that scent is coming from that I get to. It's... You know, that's the trade secret.
Right. So you absolutely hit on that. It, you know, there's definitely some proprietary information in there that allows us to get that finish and not have that harsh chemical smell or at least a pleasant smell from what the feedback we're getting is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's absolutely due to the great R&D team that we have that put this product together for us.
It was interesting. When my wife first saw me playing with it and asked what I was doing, I had to give her an example. And I said, okay, you know, in my toolbox, I have pliers that have rubber handles on them. She goes, yeah, yeah. I said, or scissors maybe have a rubber. I said, that was done with a process. It was a solid product in a can. It was a liquid. And you would dip the tool in, take it out, let it dry, and now you had rubber. I said, that's how they did it forever. I said, this is the same idea, but with a spray. And she said, oh, well, why wouldn't you just dip it? And I said, because this gives you the control and the ability to put it where you want it.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you could do stripes, you could do patterns. As much work as you want to put in on the front end, you'll get the result on the back end.
Not to mention, you can't really dip your hood.
True.
No, yeah, it's a little
that.
Large.
Right, there's that. Yeah, skis might be a problem, yeah. Stuff like that,
exactly.
Yeah. Excellent. You know, there's also a product, a rust inhibitor product that Duplicolor has that I wanted to ask you about, Paulette. Can you expand on that product a little?
Sure. That's a product we introduced a couple years back called Rust Barrier, and it's really used to encapsulate a rusty surface. We put it on a frame that was pretty rusted, and really the only prep on that is to knock off the loose rust.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you put the product on, it really encapsulates the rust and keeps it from spreading further. And it actually is quite flexible so that if you have it on a frame and you're driving down the road on your rebuilt car, it's going to move with the car and not chunk off.
Oh, nice. Nice. That's, there are...
It's kind of the opposite of an old lacquer finish, where it's, if you look at a cross-eye, it's going to crack. This stuff is flexible, so it's going to roll with the punches.
Right.
Exactly.
Great concept.
Yeah, and it adheres to the rust, which is fantastic, yeah. is there anything... I mean, this is obviously the product of the day. This is something that we're talking about, and we are going to a car show in Whitestone at Malba this afternoon, where all car guys, and I'm going to be showing off this stuff, because I know a few of the guys have asked to see it, so I'm going to be... We're going to be doing some show and tell, but... Is there anything in the future coming down the pike for Duplicolor that you want to talk about and share with the listeners?
Well, we're going to be out at Apex, which happens the first week in November. That's where we debut all of our new products. You mentioned the YouTube videos that you saw Amy starring in, along with one of our other associates, Bobby.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll be actually doing some new videos in just a couple weeks now for the new products and showing those videos out at Apex for the exciting new things that we bring out every year. So we continue to bring innovation to the market, trying to be first to market with a lot of our products.
Nice. Yeah, like you said, having the brand recognition that you have and the good performance from the products over the years, I know myself, when I see a company like Duplicolor come out with something new, I'm anxious to try it because I know you're not a fly-by-night deal. Everything you've had in the past has been good, if not excellent, and I have no hesitation about trying it, and I'm sure... You know, the rest of the guys out there who use the stuff feel the same way.
Well, thank you. We appreciate that. Yeah, we really pride ourselves on bringing products to market that the market wants and that perform well and, you know, help our end user enthusiasts really protect, restyle, and restore their cars.
Right. Excellent. Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Offline, after, like I said, I'll be out at the show this evening or tomorrow, I'll get in touch with you, Paulette. I want to... send you an invitation to another show that I'm part of that's on Thursday night. It's actually a video show with Lou Santiago from Carfix TV.
Yeah, it's on the interweb.
Sure. Yeah, and I would like to get you on there because I mentioned this on Thursday that this was the interview I had on Sunday, and the guy said, hey, well, when are they coming on here on this show? So we do a
yeah,
lot
of... Yeah, let's make them paint something. Yeah, yeah.
We do a lot of cross-promotion. So, and I'll be able to hold up the samples that I did. So I'll get in touch with you offline about that later on, and we'll go.
You mean me holding the stuff in front of the microphone and doing nothing?
You usually doesn't, no.
Damn.
No. But so please give to put out for the listeners any contact information or on the company or yourselves, how people can get in touch with and interact with the Duplicolor Corporation.
Sure. We have a great webpage, duplicolor.com, where you can find information on all of our products. There are links there to all of our social media pages. Most importantly, our Facebook and our YouTube page. Our YouTube page is just full of videos that will help any end user, any enthusiast really understand and really appreciate the product and how it's going to work for them and hopefully create some inspiration on some projects they can do.
Yeah, you've got some great stuff on there. I was kind of poking around that, you know, this week in anticipation of
You know, Joe, in front of my house, I have these, we did a little cupola thing with these two big round poles that hold it up, and they're painted white, and every year around Christmas, I get out there with the red tape, you know, not tape, but like ribbon, and kind of make a candy cane effect. I'm thinking, boy, with this red duval color, I wouldn't have to worry about the stuff shifting. I'm just thinking like, yeah, I got to tape it out. That could be a bit of a problem, but
take a little while.
I'm already thinking about bigger projects. Yeah, this really has spurned to creativity because now I'm thinking, what else can I paint? I want to paint everything with this stuff.
Yeah, what a boon, right?
Yeah.
So, and especially the fact that it's not permanent.
Right.
I mean, you know, even though it holds up really well, you know, at some point or another, if you change your mind all of a sudden, yeah, you could just go out there and you can go back to at least square one.
Right. Go back to what you had before. Exactly. Okay. Ladies, anything else you want to get in before we have to go, or have we covered the bases sufficiently, you think?
I think we're good. The only thing I would make sure we reiterate is that, you know, every 6 months you're either going to have to peel it or you're going to have to give it a top coat just to make sure that you get that removability and the easy peel technology comes through for you.
So let me ask you, is that specific to a product that's going to be used outside where there's sunlight and ozone, like on wheels of a car, or as opposed to like the wrenches I did that are going to be inside of a shop and living in a toolbox and not see that light? Does it go for both or is it really more of an outside thing?
Both. I mean, the UV is what really
breaks it down.
Yeah, the UV is what really breaks down the coating, but it does go for both. Obviously, anything that's going to be outside is going to definitely be that hard 6 month remove or reapply situation. Stuff that's in the toolbox, you know. Again, if you let that go a little bit longer, if you find it difficult to peel when you get to it, all you have to do is put a little refresher coat on it. Give it a day, and it'll come off super easy.
That's great to know.
That easy peel technology will come right through.
That is a great thing, Tom. I'm glad you said that because that's, to reiterate on that, is fantastic. It just gives a little energy, a little boost, and then it'll come right off. That's fantastic.
It reactivates the chemicals, yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, ladies, thank you very much for coming on with us. I appreciate the Joe and I appreciate the time you spent with us. It's and I know listeners that specifically wanted to hear this show to get in on this. So I will. I'll send you feedback as I get it, and I'll be in touch about the other show.
Great. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you for your
time.
Thank
you for being here.
All right.
Thanks for having us.
Okay. Thank you, and we'll be in touch soon.
Take care.
All right.
All righty. Bye-bye. All right. That was
good.
That was
colorful.
Paulette and Amy from Duplicolor, very colorful. And
yeah. They had a lot of good information there, and I think they did a fine job of explaining their product there.
I love it when I get to use a product that works, and
yes,
this stuff certainly works.
Yeah.
So I tell you what else works. Being in the middle works, middlemanning works, so I'm going to middleman this deal right here. We're going to go to another break, Joe, and then we'll come back and we will continue.
We're going to the home stretch there.
So Motormouth Radio, Ray Guarino for Joe D. When we come back, 516-572-7440. You can call us, keep it where you got it, and let's get into the middle with a little bit of this.
This portion of programming on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by the Center for Workforce Development and Lifelong Learning at Nassau Community College, which offers you the opportunity to become a registered EMT. You can complete this program in 4 months and begin a career as an EMT.
During this program, you can learn basic life support for individuals with illnesses or in accidents that require emergency medical treatment prior to arrival at a hospital emergency room. You will learn CPR and take FEMA classes. The course begins September 26th. For more information, contact the Center for Workforce Development at 516-572-7487 or visit ncc.edu.
This program is brought to you by the Westbury Food Truck Festival, happening Saturday, October 7th at 3 p.m. in the parking lot of the NYCB Theater at Westbury.
Take a bite of the food on four wheels, plus games, prizes, and other fall fun.
For more information, visit venue.thetheater@westbury.com.
Hey, you in the car? Yeah, you. You're a fan of the music of Sly Stone. I know you are. No reason to hide it. You've probably been looking for a radio program that highlights his music. Well, then look no further. Let me introduce myself. I am DJ Solero. That's soul followed by air and an O. Solero. Well, never mind about that. Back to what we're both here to talk about. The Sly Stone Show features the music of Sly through the various artists who have covered and sampled his music, and I'll be playing some of the original music that helped impact a generation. Come on, I know you're looking for some feel-good music, so just keep your radio right here for the Sly Stone Show. And you might want to think about cleaning up your car before we start. This thing is nasty. Oh, back to what's important. It's the Sly Stone Show every Friday afternoon at 3 on the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
Hey, have you seen...
No, why?
Well, he was supposed to be here right now to tell everyone about his show, The Rare Groove Session, but I can't find him anywhere.
I'll keep my eyes peeled. Maybe he went to get something to eat.
Food? He went to get food? I mean, who can eat at a time like this?
Relax. I'm sure everyone will figure out when they can listen to the most incredible music from the 60s and 70s that they may have not heard before.
But what if they can't? What if they never figure out when The Rare Groove Session is on? What happens then, huh? I don't want to live in a world where no one knows about The Rare Groove Session.
Hey guys, ready to tell everyone about RGS?
DJ Solero, where the f*** have you been?
I was getting something to eat.
How can you eat at a time like this?
What are you talking about?
Don't mind her. Go ahead. Tell everyone when to listen.
Okay, then. If you're looking to hear some mind-blowing music, check out the Rare Groove Session Friday nights at midnight on the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
All right, we're back. We're jamming. We're flailing around. We're slap bassing. There's all sorts of stuff happening over here. Motor Mouth Radio. Ray Guarino,
Living
Joe D.
Living Color.
With Living Color. Yes.
Yeah.
Great band.
Great band. Even today, what 20 odd? God, that's like 25 years later. Jeez.
Yeah. Let's see. This CD was 88.
Okay, now I feel even older.
Yeah, add a few
years. Damn.
Right.
That's okay. But meanwhile, you
managed Reed,
to,
man. Yeah. Corey Glover.
Mm. Yeah, they crank. They definitely crank, yes. Yeah. So what else is going on?
Well, there you go. There you have it. Let's see, what else is going on? Like I said, I've been, in my world, it's been coding tools, doing brake work, lining up other work. Actually, in my world, the Camaro that I worked on, the 68, is coming back.
Oh, the ragtop day, yeah.
Because the owner now complained that I did the steering box in that car. He's complained that the steering was like skipping on him.
Skipping.
Which I said, well, that ain't the box, that's the pump.
Yeah. Well,
the pump is doing it. So I'm investigating places that can rebuild or sell a new power steering pump, because the reman one that I got for my car, for my Pontiac, was no good. It was crap.
Yeah, reman. A lot of reman components, particularly in the steering department. There's a pretty high rate of defects with what's available, with what's available commonly. Especially a car like that, you definitely want to go to the next level. There's a couple of guys out there that specializes in boxes and pumps.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're not rocket science, but they do require a certain amount of attention to detail. Not to mention, if you're remanding something that's already close to 50 years old,
mm-hmm.
you may have to pay a little, you know, you will have to pay more attention to clearances and wear and so forth, either maybe disqualify the core.
Yeah,
or machine it back into usability,
mm-hmm.
Whereas sometimes the usual rebuilding process, it's not too bad. It's not on fire.
Now, there's places now that take that old pump, and they've made billet cans, if you will.
Right.
I mean, the sky's the limit with stuff like that. When I bought the reman for my car, it was just sending fluid over the fender through the little vent hole in the top of the cap, excess pressure.
Cool.
So, yeah.
Did you sell tickets?
No, but I did get a rag and start cleaning up all the oil trail.
Right.
What I did do was took it out of the car.
The Pontiac Valdez.
Yeah, pretty much. I took the pulley off, and I had saved my original pump.
Right.
I cleaned the original, painted it, and I put the pulley back on the original. I now have the pump in my car that it came with in 1965.
What does that tell you?
And I've never rebuilt it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, hey, if it leaks one day, I'll take it out and have it resealed.
Right, right. Well, you know, that's another thing that I would like to mention real quick is that sometimes fluids, you know, like we talk a lot about brake fluid, all right, but there are other fluids that, like, for example, power steering fluid. There are some people out there, and I am one of these subscribers to this, that maybe not every 5,000 miles or something like that, but once in a while, it pays to just pump out your old power steering fluid.
Yeah.
And especially on a lot of cars that are available, you know, that have like the remote reservoir, you take the return line, which is low pressure, you put it into some type of container, and you pour it into the reservoir where it's going to get sucked up by the pump and whatnot, and you start pumping out the fluid. Some guys will actually run the engine. Some guys will just crank the engine over. Some guys will take, if the belt's not too big a project to take off, some guys will take there and spin the pump manually and until you start getting clear fluid.
Sure.
That's a good way of keeping stuff alive for a long time.
The other thing I did on the recommendation of the place who made the fittings that I had to use to convert, I'm using that Monte SS steering box in my car, which uses metric lines.
Right.
And I kept my original pump, which is American.
Yeah.
So they sold a little adapter slugs that I put in. Lee Manufacturing is the company. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be talking with them about this as well. What he did was he recommended using an inline power steering filter.
Right.
Now, they sell one. It's a billet can that's openable. You can take the filter out and clean it. But I did some research and found a part number for a Toyota. I think it was a Toyota.
There are some cars that actually have one from the factory.
So now if you look at my car, again, it'd be hard to see because it's a black plastic filter that goes into black rubber lines, and I used an old coil ignition bracket that fit over perfectly, which is painted black, which is mounted on my black frame rail.
Folks, there's a lot of black. You ain't seeing nothing unless Ray points at it.
Exactly.
That's why he keeps the laser pointer in his pocket. See, there's my filter down there. Yeah.
But now that thing is a replaceable element. And I mean, it's not a replaceable element in the filter, but the filter can be taken out and replaced.
Right.
And those things, I think, cost, I think maybe it was like $8-$9 or something.
Yeah, because, you know, power steering pumps in a lot of those components are susceptible to wear.
Yeah.
You know, and you get the metal particles in there causing all kinds of havoc on the Teflon seals and so forth, especially in cars with rack and pinion.
Oh, yeah.
So keeping that stuff down to a minimum. I mean, you know, the reservoirs themselves have like a little screen, fairly fine screen.
Yeah.
But that just keeps the elephants out.
Right.
You know.
The funny thing was this guy with the Camaro, now we put in a close ratio box. It's kind of like the one in my car. It's three turns lock to lock. I think it took it from 17 to 1 down to 12 to 1.
Okay.
And as soon as I drove the car, I said, oh, he needs a bigger steering wheel because he put an aftermarket wheel on the car.
Little tiny one there, yeah.
Not the little chain one that the guys in East L.A. drove, not that. I'd say maybe it's an 11 or 12-inch wheel.
Okay.
Where the standard wheel was probably, what, 14, 15?
Yeah, they were big. Yeah, back in the day, they had pretty big ones, and it was the same wheel power steering and manual steering.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because pretty much they're like a boat.
The one I put in my car is an aftermarket wheel. It's not the factory size, but it's not as small as his. It's somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, maybe 14 or 15.
Yeah, around it. Maybe.
Yeah, that was pretty popular back in the day because the big wheel, for a variety of reasons, was just obtrusive.
Right.
You know what I mean? And you didn't, if you didn't have power steering, you were probably young enough that you had muscles and you would, you'd be able to, you know, you didn't need the leverage of the large wheel. And
Armstrong steering.
There you go.
The funny thing was, though, this guy had complained that the steering in his car now felt too responsive. And I had a laugh. I was like, you know.
I think I shot you an email with my response to that.
You did. It was kind of like the email you sent me from the tech line this week about the, what the heck was that about? The guy, I forget what the
hell. We had a couple of them. Yeah,
there were a couple of good. But, you know, I had a chuckle because I said, hey, you got all the stuff in here that's going to give you the most amount of response. And now, I mean, if it was observation, fine. It's, you observed it. That's good.
Right.
But I guess he wanted a little less responsiveness. So
you can't win.
Yeah, I know.
You know, because yeah, you could. I guess you could go and put the original style box back in if you could find one. Because everybody ripped those out.
Well, yeah,
for a reason.
The box that came out of his car could have been rebuilt.
Sure.
You know, to stock specifications.
Sure.
So, but again,
sure,
that's when you need to know, and that's why it's hard being in a shop to know what does the customer want. Sometimes you make the decision for the customer, and you. Usually, I found if I make a decision for somebody where it's performance oriented or even performance like in braking, not necessarily engine, they're usually very happy because the components I choose and the way that I do it is a higher level of feedback to the, you know, to the driver, and they like that.
Sure,
but
it's a very subjective thing too. You know what I mean? As far as you know, what you may want may not be the same. Or it may not be the same sensibility as the owner of the vehicle. Especially if the owner of the vehicle is not maybe an old-time hot rod slash car guy.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Case in point, you know, I worked on Mike's Chevelle, and his car has stock steering. And when I drove it, I said, yeah, this has that boaty, floaty feel. And when I talked to him, I said, hey, you know, we could tighten up this car, too. And he says, no, I like it that way.
Yeah.
And I said, you know what? Then that's good. At least you know what you like. Then God bless, it stays like that.
Sure.
You know?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, you know, at that point, like I said, you gotta go with the sensibility of the customer. Once, you know, in a repair type situation, it's like, this is the way the car was built. We put it back to specification. And if you're really not happy with that, you're going to have to have a talk with, you know, Mr. Chevy or Mr. Toyota or whoever, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, because I have seen that happen, too, where sometimes... You fix the suspension in the car, you know what I mean? Because the thing was it just turned into like this big bouncy house, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You might as well have had like air, you know, an air mattress under you, mm-hmm. And you put back like, you know, the proper springs and shocks or whatever, and it caused tight again,
mm-hmm.
And like, wow, I can feel all the bumps. Well,
yeah.
Well, that's because you're not bouncing 5 feet up in the air and coming back down again, you
right,
know?
Right.
So that's a different story. But when you're dealing with a subjective thing like a more custom hot rod slash type of work like that. Yeah, the customer and the mechanic have to have a rapport.
I'll tell you the truth. Even in my own car, I selected components. I know kind of basically what I wanted to do with the car suspension-wise, but I didn't know. You don't know until you drive it what the exact parts you put in are going to give you on feedback.
Yeah, that's another thing is that sometimes when you install something something different, you know what I mean? You have to kind of be ready for... This isn't what I wanted, you know, and be ready to either go back to stock or go look in someplace else. Well,
and that's where I've been with my car. I call that the tweaking stage.
Yes.
And that's why I tell people, you know, when they say, yeah, we got the car in the shop and the car is finished. I just said this to someone this week. I forget who it was. I said, you know what? Ha ha. I said, hot rods, resto mods are never finished.
No.
I never use that word. My car isn't, I mean, it's obviously not finished if you look at it, but even the mechanicals, which are sound, aren't finished because I'm always tweaking stuff. I've changed the shock settings, I think, 4 times already.
Right. Did we just flash?
Yeah, can we get a quick minute phone?
Let's get a quickie in.
We'll say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Talk quick.
Caller.
What's up? No way.
All right, you got about a minute because we're almost out
Come
of here.
On.
I know, I'm just saying hi and goodbye.
All right, Christian, you've had a good weekend. How you been
Super
watching?
Superbikes to Steamers, yeah.
Very
I'm
cool.
I'm looking at tractors. I'm in a barn right now.
Oh, cool.
Excellent.
I'm out here in Suffolk at some farm, but yeah. Superbike race was cool yesterday. I'll talk to you guys later.
All right, Christian.
Did you like the vintage bikes?
Oh, that was great.
Very cool stuff.
I tell you, Team Obsolete was in full force yesterday. It was impressive.
That's cool.
I'll talk to you guys later.
Okay, thanks, Christian.
Bye.
All right, take care.
That was Christian from Modified Motorcycles out in Suffolk County, who works on everything from old Hondas to Hayabusas and Ducatis, Desmondronic valve trains, Panheads, Sportsters, you know.
Yeah, he's got quite the range there.
You name it.
Now, there's a guy that does not have tunnel vision.
No, not at all.
Yeah, that's it. So what do we got cooking for next week there, right, real quick?
Okay, I don't have anybody on the schedule, but you know what? Like I said, there's a few people.
You never know what falls out of the clouds.
Yeah, there's a few people who are, you know, circling. And we will have, I don't know, we'll figure it out. Next week we'll...
We're going to keep you in suspense now.
Yeah, we'll be doing something cool. So let's clear out of here so Kim can get in and play Thunder Road, the best of Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah, time for Thunder Road.
And for Joe D, Ray Guarino, Motormouth Radio, we'll catch you next week.